more sheets, and I thought, wow, this is going to be really cool because almost all of us have kind of the same sources. And yet you can look at the exact same sources and see it in a totally different way, just off of what we just heard. Now, as I was listening to this, I'm going to present something totally opposite, but with the same idea, maybe or maybe not. I feel like I'm like used to standing. I'm a person who never sits, but we're going to try. What? I never sit. So I actually want to talk about something that was very interesting that happened to me, like maybe a month ago. I'm going to start with this story. I'm a storyteller, really. More than a teacher, I'm a storyteller. And I want you guys to imagine this, okay? I'm usually very busy. I'm like juggling a lot of things always, trying hard not to drop any balls. I also have, Baruch Hashem, I have 6 kids, and I have like 10 jobs. And we decided a couple weeks ago, my oldest son who's in Yeshiva Gedola, he wasn't coming home, like he was in Yeshiva. And I said, you know what, we're not gonna have guests. I really want a quiet Shabbat. I don't want anyone to come. I always make like Likvot Shabbos, but I want it to be like small and simple, and I'm tired. Okay, I was very tired. The week before we had a big Shabbaton with Aish, and I was just really tired. So I knew going into the Shabbos that I just want to make a small amount of food, you know? And I'm also, it happens to be, we're Sephardi, and I'm also very healthy. So imagine, like, my home, I like it makes lots of salatim. You guys know what the salatim are? You know, like the makbuka and the hummus and the tahina and all these kinds of things. And me, being my Californian self, I like to put them, I don't put them in plastic, I put them in, I have glass containers. And that way, also, I don't have to do double dishes, like, it's more environmental, I just serve it, it's pretty, and they have the tops. I've been doing this now, Baruch Hashem, for, like, more than 20 years, for sure. So, it's like around, and also, I always send, like, a care package to my oldest son. You know, like, you send off, there's, like, a hasa'ah that goes, he learns it a lot, we found out, we send off a care package every Shabbat, he's there. Okay, so I'd already sent that food. Now, mind you, when the teenage boy is not home, it's a lot less also quantity of food that I know that I have to be making. And I had everything ready. It was like around 11:30, and I see in my WhatsApp, we have a Harnof group, beautiful Harnof group, that says, okay, 2 bacharim are looking for a suda for Leil Shabbat. I said, I'm not going to worry about it. I know someone's going to grab them. Like, I don't have to worry about this. But I saw it. Okay, I had finished cooking, everything's it, and then 12:30, I see again the sign posted. Now remember, this is winter. Shabbos was, it's like coming in at 4. 12:30, I see they're still looking for 2 bacharim for Shabbat. So I was like, wow, that's really weird. Like, Harnof people, like, grab people. You know what I'm saying? It's a very beautiful, you know, I don't know what was going on. Probably everybody was thinking that everybody else is tired and no one's going to take these bites. So 12:44, it's like this. I said, I can't believe this. I chat the woman. I said, I was very honest. I'm always honest. I said, I'm really tired. I don't want guests. I said, but do you really not have anybody to take them? And she said, yeah. So I said, okay, Zachiti, I'll take them. So I was like, okay, you know what? I said, I have to put a little bit more fish. I'll put a little bit more fish in the oven, but everything else, what there is, there is. Around 2:30, mind you, Shabbos is coming at 4, one of my very labedic boys decides to take, you know, cereal with milk, and I don't know what he did, like slams the refrigerator door, and all my shelves in my refrigerator, boom, 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 and all the glass salatim come flying out of the refrigerator. So I want you to picture this scene on the kitchen floor. Makbuka, you know, cabbage salad, chatzalim, pilpel, like all my, everywhere, glass. I have a 10-month-old baby who crawls and walks and waddles and falls. This is like, it's like a chaos in the kitchen. Mind you, also, not only am I tired, we've already cleaned the house, we've already done sponja, and also, it's not like, let's say you're living in, like, in America, and you can run to the supermarket and buy some, you know, everything's closed, 2:30 in Yerushalayim, Sagur. So I had this huge thing, like, I've been working on myself, I'm not going to scream and yell. I've been working on that for like over 20 years, I'm not going to get angry. Like, come on, a kid, you didn't do it on purpose, and also, what's more important, my bakbuka or the kid's self-esteem? So I'm up to that level now, after 20 years of working hard on myself, where I won't yell, I won't scream. I'm just like, okay, tachlitz, let's pick up the shards of the glass, the baby, and start cleaning everything up. But then I had this revolution, which is going to be about my shiur today. What was my revolution? My revolution is Ilana. Yes, you've had a lot of mazal until now. But you can't have 6 kids, invite 2 guests last minute, have glass containers, and not break. Do you understand? All of a sudden I had this revolution that, like, you know what? This is actually called life. And I have these expectations that I'm going to have glass containers, kids, people who are labor-addicted that slam the refrigerator door, have last-minute guests, have enough food, and I want to have it all, and I can't. And all of a sudden, I felt so calm. I felt so calm. I felt so, like, okay, that's true. So while I was in my calmness, I said, I have a choice now. Either in the future, I'll use plastic, or I'll use glass and know that they could break. Either I'm going to have last-minute guests and realize that whatever there is, and that's fine. And they were happy, by the way. There's challah, there's dessert, boys are happy. You know what I'm saying? We had chicken. Like, it was good. My kids were happy. There's dessert, we're all happy. If the cake had dropped, that would have been a major, maybe, trauma. But this was okay. And it was such a realization that, yes, I can't have it all. So, no, it was very interesting. What we're just listening now is this idea about, I want to plant these seeds because I'm expecting that if I just have a good expectation for my child, or for my neighbor, or for my friend, or for my nieces and nephews, or for my grandchildren, if I plant these seeds, I'm going to get something, because all I have to do is believe in a person, and I'm going to get what I want. And the reality is that's not really the reality in this world, is that we plant, and we nurture, and we water, and we do everything, but we're not getting what we want. And why is that? Because maybe we want glass containers, last-minute Shabbos guests, lots of kids, clean house, I want it all. That's not why we're here, is to want it all. So I want us to look, I was thinking about, what is this beautiful month of Shvat? We just entered Shvat, which my name is, I thought you asked me to come because my name's Ilana, not because I know that chinuch, but because I'm Ilana, I'm a tree. And I think I am a tree. Like, it's amazing to me, the essence of the person, you know, the word Shem is within the word Neshama. And within each one of our names, we really do have a sense of our essence of who we are. And so many times, it's just about tapping into who am I in my essence. And I really feel like my essence is a tree for a lot of reasons. So we're the month of Shvat. And yes, it's about these trees. It's about planting. It's about, right now we're davening, even though it's so hard to daven because it's so beautiful outside. It's hard, you know, to like really be so with Kavanah that we want rain. But we're davening, we want rain. This is the time, all the rain, the most amount of rain that's being, you know, falling is gonna be absorbed into the ground. This is what makes a big difference. So we're doing all these things, and I was thinking Shvat, it sounds very much like a Shevet. Now, what's the word Shevet? Shevet has two meanings, actually. One, we know commonly the tribes, but Shevet is also a branch, which is very interesting. And actually, the Shevetim were a branch. Also, what are the two comparisons we have to an Eitz? Is a person, and also Torah, Eitz Chaim Hei. Like, the Torah is our Eitz, is our tree. So what exactly also is this with the Torah? What's about being a branch? What's about being a Shevet? What's about being a person? So I want to actually, I'm a little bit like all over the place. So even in my source sheets might not be exactly according to this is my style, according to the way, but the first thing, at least I did on the right thing, the first page, we have the famous pasukim from Devarim about this idea that man is a tree. Where do we get it from? So you have to kind of really look into the Hebrew, because in the English translation of Sefaria, it's not exactly, I want to just read that one, I'm going to summarize. So it says, when you go out to war, you besiege, you capture, you cannot destroy its trees. You can't wield the axe against them. You may eat of them, but you must not cut them down. And why? Then it says, ki ha'adam eitz hasadeh, okay? Why? I'm just going to say literally, because the man is a tree of the field. Okay? Here it says a little bit different translation, but that's the actually just the words, ki ha'adam, because man is etz hasadeh, is the man of the field. And then it says that you are going to come to the besieged city. So I want to bring us now to Tanit, okay, to this Gemara in Tanit. And it says, it brings in this pasuk, okay, about ki ha'adam etz hasadeh. And what are we learning from this? What are we learning about the etz hasadeh? What halacha, actually, deraita, do we learn from this mitzvah of, from this pasuk, the ki etz hasadeh? We're learning the mitzvahs that you can't just cut them down. Why? Because they're a fruit tree. We're gonna turn the page. And it says, so we know that man's compared to a fruit, right? And then number two is from that Gemara is bringing, that there is a principle. What's the principle? You cannot purposely waste or destroy anything of value. Food, good utensils, clothes. What does this mean to me? It means bal tashchit. You know, this mitzvah is you can't just waste. But let's also, I just want to go really into being, look what it said. You can't cut something down. What can you not cut down? An etz. Why? Ki ha-etz, the etz is the ish. So this is number one fundamental, I think, principle in chinuch, but not just in chinuch of banim, in chinuch of etzmi. I can't cut down a person. I am learning right now that if a man is a person, I can't cut you down. I can't just, even in the most extreme circumstances, I'm at war, I'm fighting with you, I'm disagreeing with you, I don't like the way you're handling things. I have teenagers and I have little kids and I have a baby. And I don't like sometimes what they're doing. I don't like the interactions. But even in my midst that I'm at war, that my body feels like I'm at rage, that I'm with another person, guess what the Torah is coming to tell me? Even the most extreme that I'm at war, I cannot cut you down. I can't just dumb cut you down. I can't just dumb criticize you. I can't just dumb say to you, you're wrong. It's a huge, huge lesson. It's huge. Now, why is it usually that we come to cut somebody down? Why is it usually that we get very emotional, we're looking at something? So number one, going back to my story about the Salatin, is we do usually have these high expectations, these dreams. I don't know if we're allowed to have dreams. We're allowed to have shefas. What is a shefa? A shefa is an aspiration, inspiration. Meaning, like, I can aspire to something, right? I can aspire to something ruchnias. It even says that if I aspire to ruchnias, Hashem will help me. A person who wants to grow and learn a Torah, it's guaranteed Hashem will help you. But a dream, I have a dream of living, I have a dream of buying a house in Yerushalayim. Is that in my control or not in my control? It's not in my control. As much, even if I were to make $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, I don't know how much money you need right now to buy a house in Yerushalayim. Even if I make $3 million right now, there still could be some kind of thing where I can't buy a house. A dream is something that I cannot fulfill. It's all Hashem. But an aspiration is something that a spiritual thing that I can work towards. If I do my hishtalis and that, Hashem says, I will guarantee this for you. So having dreams about my children, about the people in my life, about my spouse, about my friend, what is this going to do to me? I'm going to get very disappointed, angry. I'm going to fight with you, and I'm going to cut you down. I'm trying to control something that's completely, totally not in my control. So I want to look a little bit more on this idea. It says in, it was funny, I saw someone else brought this, I see. It's because it's a very famous Misrat Yesharim, and it says, the introduction is like this, that the foundation of piety, okay, and the shoish, the root of Avodah, the perfect Avodah, is for a man to clarify and come to realize as truth what is his obligation in his world, and to what he needs to direct his gaze and his aspirations in all that he toils all the days of his life. So the this is a very interesting, I know Rav Wolbe brings this, but I think he brought from the Graz commentate talking about the Ramchal. But I know for sure in the Shema, in the name of Rav Wolbe, that if you look very closely at this, it says, look very closely, it says, his obligation, chovoto be'olamo, in his world. It doesn't say man comes into this world to fulfill the obligation of the world. It says his obligation in his world, which is like a really fascinating thing. Meaning I came into this world to do my personal obligations to my personal world. So if I see a person and I have these dreams about them, that only if I plant, this is for sure, well, Bobby said this, that you're trying to plant apples. You really want apples. You take some apples, and you say, I really want apples, but instead you see that there's orange seeds. So you say, I'll take some orange seeds, and I'll just give it the apple fertilizer, and I'll just keep giving it apple fertilizer, and I'm going to get apples. It's not true. Orange seeds will get an orange, and apple seed will get an apple. We don't come into this world to do anybody else's obligation. We just come to the world to do our obligation. So if I'm looking at a child, if I'm looking at a grandchild, if I have these dreams about them, because I want them to be an orange, but they're an apple, what am I doing? I'm not going to get either an apple nor an orange. Because as the Ramchal says, you come into this world just to fulfill your obligation in your world, whatever your world is. It's like huge, also for our own personal growth and our own personal understanding of who we are. So now we look and we see in Sanhedrin, it talks about also, I brought this because I thought it was really fascinating to me. Like there's this whole discussion about what the name of Mashiach is going to be. And it says all the different schools. It says the school of Rabbi Shila says Shiloh is his name until Shiloh can come. And the school of Rav Yain, Yonai says, it's Yinon's name, and then they give a pasuk. And then the school of Rabbi Hanina says, it's Hanina, you know, they give a pasuk. Meaning you have all these schools, and what are they saying? The Mashiach is going to be in the name of my teacher, or me, right? But what is this about this? What's so beautiful about this is that, yes, we are very egocentric. We say my way is the right way. But there is something very emes about this. You guys realize that every single person is bringing the Mashiach in their name the way that they can bring the Mashiach. That means every single child and every single person, every single adult comes into this world to do their tafki, their role, to bring their part of bringing the Mashiach. They were all true, what they were saying. It will be called in all those names. So now I want to look into like the first kind of sources of where in the Torah we get this idea about, I call this to nurture the nature, right? So again, going back to the idea of Shvat and Shevet. Okay, we have our first kind of like conceptions going on here. In Bereishit it says that Leah conceived and she bore a son, she named him Reuben. Why? Because she declared, now Hashem has seen my affliction, seen, right? And then now my husband will love me. And then she has a second child, and she says, okay, Hashem heard, Shmi'ah, Shimon. And then we have the third child, and she calls him Levi. Why? Because now she says, my husband will accompany me. And then Yelaveh, right? And then we get to the fourth one, Yehuda. Why? Because now it's time that she's Odeh et Hashem, Alken Krashemo Yehuda. So we see something very fascinating. Again, going back to what I said about the Shem, the name of the person is within their essence of who they are, their neshamas. Hashem just doesn't call a person and you say, well, you didn't call, Hashem didn't call it, the parents called it. This is also something very fundamental about chinuch. A parent is given a ruach hakodesh. Now, my husband's Syrian, so all the firstborns are after my father, the name of the father-in-law, and all the first girls are the mother-in-law. So I have. There are five sons. So we have five Fridas and five Avrams, meaning it doesn't, you say, well, where's the Ruach HaKodesh on that? I had to name the kid this. So there is a Ruach HaKodesh, because what's fascinating about that this child was born first. That's Ratzon Hashem. Knowing Hashem knows our custom. He knows that this kid's going to be called Avram. Avram has a certain essence to him. And all the Avrams, it's amazing, in our family, are very calm and like have this certain vibe about them of chesed. And, you know, each person has a certain name. That the reason why you're named after somebody is because that was at that moment that the parent had this Ruach HaKodesh, this is what has to be. Now, you could say, what is that also teaching us? It's also teaching us that really, I think that if a person were to close their eyes and go inside themselves and start asking for an awareness and a dot of what am I supposed to do in this situation for this child or this grandchild or this other person, is that inside of us, we actually do have the instinct to know what to do with our children. But so then what covers it up? Like, how do I know how to handle the situation? What covers it up is we're not just tapping into our good midas, right? We're not just channeling, we're not just like looking at the child as a whole. We're sort of just seeing our dreams instead of seeing, okay, what is in front of me? Am I trying to make an apple into an orange? Am I really looking at this orange and seeing what is my instinct here that I gave this child this name also? Like, what can I tap into this essence of this child, this person? So, turn the page. I don't have page numbers. But so now also, we have this idea going further about that Yaakov also, just to sort of support this, he comes and he says before, in Parsha Vayechi, he wants to bless them all, and he says, okay, and each tribe is according to their blessing, right? No two tribes bring the blessings. I could have also brought in, I was thinking about the Parsha Naso, about every single tribe brought the exact same korban, the exact same thing. So even you could say, well, all my kids are doing the exact same thing. You know, they're all in the same, like every person I see out there, they look exactly the same. But even when you're doing something exactly the same, going back to Misrat Yeshayim, that the reason why the Torah took so much time and listing every single pasuk over and over again is because even if I'm doing the exact same thing as the other person, only I can be the Ilana doing that exact same thing, right? Each tribe who brought their korban was doing their tafki. So we're going to go and now look at this of the famous pasuk of Mishle, that you should educate or train the nar, the lad, according to their way, right? And why is it? So that in his old age, he will not veer from this. So before I get to something about the Vilna Gaon, what he comments on this, I just want to look at the word also, chinuch. The first two letters is chen. right? You see this? The first two letters is a chet and a nod, which means, we usually say chen is like grace, right? I found favor. Motzi chen b'nai, she found favor in my eyes. It's like grace. Where is the first time in the Torah that we see the word chen? It has to do with Noach. Noach, who's very actually Noach, right? He has also in his word, you just switch the letters, it's chen. Noach found chen. What does this mean? Who was Noach? What did he do? Noach found connection. He connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ikar, the centrality, kind of chinuch, is finding connection. And if you think about who else is chen, is Chana. What did Chana do? She comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she's at Shiloh, and she's davening with all her heart. From her we learn, what do we learn? That you can connect to Hashem through tefillah. Chinuch, chen, has to do with, I found favor in this person's eyes. I'm connecting to you. I can't, if I don't connect to you, then you're not going to be able to be makabel of anything that I'm saying to you. You're not going to be able to receive anything that I'm giving over to you, but there's no connection. And how do we make connection? So let's go to the Vilna Gaon. I wrote like a small, but I have it more in depth that I want to talk about. What does it mean to educate the youth according to his ways? So the idea here is that the Vilna Gaon brings in that a person is born with a certain nature. He brings it in, actually, it's more. He talks about that the person is born in a certain mazal. And so, like, because you're in that certain mazal, you're going to maybe have certain attributes, right? He says that he brings in all the different types of mazalim that you could, that you would be. And that, for example, that person, let's say the person is born in a mazal where it's a very bloody person, you know? I think it's Mars. I'm not mistaken, let's see. Yeah, a person born under the mazal of Mars will spill blood. Rav Ashi said he'll either be a moel, a shochet, or abandoned, right? He specifically mentioned these three examples because the person's mazal dictates only that he will spill blood. But through his free will, he'll choose in which of these three contexts to do so. Either a moel, a tzaddik, who does paz and mitzvahs, or a shochet, or a benoni, who prevents averus, right, by ensuring that everything is kosher. Or abandoned, he'll be a rasha who spills blood. So this is what is meant by the verse. He says that you get a certain force, a certain mazal, you're born with a certain essence, and you can't change that essence of the person. But what can we do? We can connect to the essence of the person, and through that mazal, the word mazal comes from nozel, which is a fluid, we can channel it. You see a person in front of you, and you see something that maybe you don't like, I'm going to challenge you to see it in a different way. I'm going to challenge you to see that flow and try to change, not to change them, but to see how even within myself can I maybe change how I'm flowing looking at this person. You know, it's fascinating because we want so much to fix, but it's not about fixing. Nothing's broken here. That this is who the person is, and this is also who I am. But can I challenge? Can I take my kochot? Can I change all these things where just, you know, the word midah, in Hebrew, is a measurement. It's not a character. It's a measurement. Can I take this measurement of this person and just and try to channel it, have the right balance towards it? Instead of trying to constantly be fixing and changing, can I just channel? And that's more important, I think, within ourselves. Can I connect and channel within myself to my kohot and my essence of who I am? So I'd like to ask a very big question that, you know, you could write down on this piece of paper, like you could draw a small circle and you could draw a big circle, and I want you to ask yourselves, inside the small circle is, who am I in this big world that I live in? We have to get to know who we are. In order to connect to anybody else, we have to start with connecting to ourselves. This is the month of Shvat. It's a month of planting. It's a month of absorbing. It's a month of also, what branch do I have in this tree? What am I part of this big tree of Torah and of life and of man, that I am my own particular branch that's going to be shedding and or blossoming, or I don't know what the word is, fruits. So in Breishit here, I have on the last page, but on like the front of the last page, it says that Ele Tolodot Noach. Noach ish sadik, tamim haya bedorotav et Elokim. Hitalech Noach. So what does this say? First of all, Noach, okay, these are his toledot. What was Noach? Was a righteous man. Pause. He was, here it says, blameless in his anger, but he was tamim, right? He was simple in his perfection, you know, like in a perfect, simple way in all his generations. And he walked with Hashem. So the Midrash brings in the one right below it, it says that the Torah is initiating that there were not one Noah, but there's three Noahs, right? We're being introduced to three very distinct Noahs. One was the Noah before the flood, one was during the flood, and one's after the flood. What does this mean? Noah had three roles. Before the flood, he was the rabbi, Baal Tshuva, trying to make a rev with everybody, right? During the flood, he becomes a zookeeper, right? And maybe the, zookeeper. And the last one, what is he doing? He's the rebuilder. He's the person, the individual who has to, like, rebuild the world, right? So what is this also fascinating? To know that a person has so many different roles within your role. I didn't come here to be stagnant and just be this one thing about me. The Torah compares to a tree, and a person's compared to a tree because a tree is constantly, God willing, always growing and changing. We go through cycles, we go through seasons. Sometimes we have fruit, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have leaves, sometimes we don't. I have, as I mentioned, I have this baby. Between my oldest and my youngest, they're about 17 years apart. And I'm really tired, to be honest. And my little one I didn't know at my age I was going to have another child. It was a really big blessing, and also I'm really tired. I'll be very honest with you. I'm tired. I think every woman, all day long, she just says she's tired, and no matter what stage of life she's in, you know, and then you get like these little four-year-olds, I'm so tired. So, because they hear their mommies talking too much. So, I have these moments where I'm tired, you know, and like I have 11:39, I have a chavruta with my oldest son on the telephone. I told you, Zeshiva Gadola. So we have a chavruta 11:39, right? So then, and by the time I get to sleep, I don't know what time it is. And I have to be up at 5 already, you know, like, so in between those hours, I have this little baby who still wants to nurse and still wants to cuddle and still cries out to me. And you could get so overly whelmed and so also resentful, actually, of the most. Because you're like, I need sleep. I need to function. I need to exist. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at this baby, and I thought to myself, how precious is this? Like, Hashem, you gave me a gift. I get to get up again for a baby at my age. It's such a beautiful gift. And I'm looking at this baby, and thank God I'm getting up for a baby and not something else, God forbid. You know? And it's like, do I really have the possibility, the capability in that moment, no matter where I am, to be able to channel my kohot? And you do. That's what being a tree is about, is that there's seasons, there's time. Sometimes you shed the leaves, and sometimes you grow them. And the most amazing thing about a tree, which really I understand why we're compared to trees, and why the Torah is compared to a tree, and why a man is compared to a tree, is a tree goes against gravity. The water goes up. There is nothing else in life that goes against gravity, that I know of anyways. I'm not sure, but I didn't investigate too much. But my understanding of the little science that I kind of remember in my fogginess, is that we have gravity. You drop something, this I know from the baby, you drop it, it goes down. Like the food, everything is on the floor, it's down there, it's not going back up, right? But an ant, a person, you can go against your gravity. But how do we go against the gravity? Not by fighting our essence of who we are, but by channeling it in the right direction. You see a person, you see a child, and they're doing something, and you know, it's just channeling it in the right direction. It's not trying to change you. It's not trying to break you. It's not trying to fix you. Somebody comes to you, asks for advice, and you're seeing something that's really making you upset. It's getting you agitated. Go inside yourself, and first of all, ask yourself, what is about me that I'm getting agitated about this? Can I channel this to take a step back, listen to what they're hearing, and then maybe be a guide to help channel this person if I'm zochet to be that shaliach? So, I think this is like a huge message for us. And then we go on, and Mishlei also. Is kind of going back to this idea, which I always, you know, my mother, she always says, my Zadie would always say, first of all, two things. One is that life is the best college education. That's what he would always say. Life is the best college education. Mind you, my Zadie was a Holocaust survivor. He came to America like he was already, I think, almost 60, starting all over again. And he always said life was the best college education. And then other thing that he would always say is best college education. Like, life in itself is the best education. And he'd always say, Mon tocht und Gott lacht. Like, always, man plans, man thinks, and God laughs. It's like this, the mantra, man thinks and God laughs, man thinks and God laughs. So we have in Mishlei, it says that a man may arrange his thoughts, but what he says, I don't know if I like this translation. Let's see. L'adam malchei lev u'me'ashem ma'ane lashon. OK? Okay, a man is going to arrange his thoughts, which look at the word, where's the word thought? How do they translate thought? It's lev. It's very interesting. In Tanakh, the word lev means thoughts. Why? Because what I think will make a very big impression on how I feel, which is huge also, which is just another point. I didn't even think about that. But that's another point, is if I'm thinking all the time about this person being so annoying, and I can't stand how they're doing this, and I can't believe what they're doing, I'm going to feel that way about them. And if I change it, you know, I'm dealing with a person, and this person is a lot of trouble a lot. Like, I'm talking about being in jail, and being on drugs, and lots of troubles that are not so pashut. And I said to myself, Ilana, when you're dealing with this person, you must look at this person as a success. So you might ask, what's successful about this? Drugs? Jail? Not so successful. And I said, you know what? If this person's alive, to me that's a success. No, bemet, because they could kill themselves. They could have taken their life. They could have done something much worse. So in my opinion, they're a success. They're alive. That means success, 100%. All of a sudden, my thoughts about this person have changed. The way I can speak to this person now, I can take a step back. I can look a little bit. I can empathize, validate a little bit where they're coming from. And then maybe with that, they'll be receptive to what I have to say. But for sure, if I'm cutting down that tree and attacking them, they're not going to listen to me. Right? So my heart, my thoughts. L'adam arechet alev. Why? I have to. Let's see what my timing is. Okay, we're good. I have to be arranging my thoughts because that's how I'm going to feel. But you know what happens? Hashem is the one that answers the lashon, right? And all the ways of man seem right to him. But Hashem probes motives. Entrust your affairs to Hashem and your plans will succeed. Hashem has made everything for a purpose, and then it says, even the wicked for an evil day. So what is this showing us? That according to the Gra of interpretation of this in Mishlei, that the objective of these verses is to show that man, the way to man and how to behave and follow his will and good counsel. For each and every person has his own path to follow, for their dispositions are not the same, their faces are not the same, and the natures of two people are not the same. Here, from this pasukim, the Gra brings in the idea that even the way man was created, we don't have the same face, even identical twins. They are identical, but they're not. And maybe even externally they're identical, but for sure, every identical twin that I've ever met is very different than their identical twin. I have a good friend with identical twins. So the question here is really, okay, you have all these things, you're thinking about something, this is how you're going to feel, you're playing this, and at the end we know that actually Hashem is going to be the one that's going to decide, but you put yourself on this path and this follows. So now I heard two things that I really, really loved also. Is that a person could also say, okay, I get what you're saying, Ilana, each person has their essence, each person's the tree, not to cut somebody down because, you know, they're not going in that direction that you want them to be going, maybe, and to look at them, but how exactly do you know who you are? How do you know that I'm watering, nurturing this tree in the right way, that I'm giving it the right fertilizer, for example, right? Like, how do I know that I'm being that person who's able to encourage them to go in the right way? And in whatever way that is, that's good. So how do you know yourself? So Rabbi, I love this, Michelle. Rabbi Akiva Tatz brings in, he says like this. He says, imagine that you just went into a construction site and you're on a construction site, says Rabbi Akiva Tatz, you're on a construction site and all of a sudden this person shows up. Like you have, so on a construction site, what do you have? You have, I don't know. But I'm guessing. You have the person doing the plumbing, maybe, and you have the person doing the cement, or some people doing the walls. I'm not in construction. There must be some kind of electrical wiring. I don't know. So let's say a person shows up, and they're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing in this world. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing in this project. What am I supposed to be doing? But they have a toolbox. So if you look and open up the toolbox, I'm going to guess on these things, but I'm opening my toolbox, and all of a sudden I see a... that thing, right? A plunger. So I know that maybe my role has to do with plumbing. And I see the other person has a hammer and some nails and screws and the screwdriver, so maybe they have to do something to do with like installing the fixtures, right? Or not the fixtures, maybe that's a chashmal, but like something like that. And another person has the wires and these kinds of things in their toolbox, so they say, okay, this person came, maybe it's going to be the electrician. So the first thing we do have to do is we do have to open up the toolbox. We do have to go inside ourselves and say, well, what are first of all the kelim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me? I heard something very, very funny. It's a joke, but I'm going to share it. This he's a batshuva, and he was saying that when he was young, he really wanted to be an actor. He's a performer. He's an actor. Like, he wants to be an actor. So he goes to his parents, and they say to him, "You can't be an actor. No good Jewish boy." Now, they weren't religious, but they said, "No good Jewish boy is an actor." So then when he went to yeshiva, he started becoming religious, and he said, "I want to be a rabbi." And they said to him, "No good Jewish boy is a rabbi." And it was funny when I heard it from him. But the idea here is that you do have kochot. You have a certain toolbox. He was a performer. He's this. So, okay, so what's it going to be? Where is it going to be channeled? The same thing idea of what we were talking about before, the idea that a person's born in Mars, they have a toolbox of blood. There is something there that, okay, you see a certain child, it's not that we're labeling always saying you're the artist. You're an artist, because then we're boxing them in. Whatever your label is, that's your whole life. I remember also, I'm good with languages, even though I'm very good with languages. Since I was little, we would go travel, and my mother, like, I'm telling you, Thailand. We could be in any country, and my mom would be like, "Ilana, you talk." I was like, "I don't know how to say these, you know, I don't know, but I'm good with language, I'm good with people, I can communicate, so even if I didn't speak Chinese, I could get around." So, but it's funny, but I also love sciences, and I also love all these other things, but I was always, okay, Ilana, you're the language, you're the, so what did I end up doing? I ended up studying international relations, just because that was my, I was going to go into international law, because that was my programming. But there is something true, like, you have a toolbox, but that doesn't mean that you have to box yourself into that label. You know, I think I would have been great in sciences also, using some kind of communication. But the point there is I do have to see what Hashem giving me. I don't have a natural desire, nor I love to dance, but it's not like I don't have this natural talent. I don't have such a strong will. I'm not going to become a dancer. I'm not going to go into a toolbox that's not even my reality and start saying I wasn't. So we do have to look at the child. At the child, I have, for example, I have children that have incredible capacities with learning and studying. Like, they don't get 100, they get 105. I have another child who's got major learning disabilities. Can put in a lot of effort, and with all that effort, which to me, effort is success, they'll get maybe a 70, maybe, if we're, you know? So it's not that I'm not going to say to this child not to love learning. I want the child to love learning. The child's got to read also. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to learn how to read in this world, even if it's challenging. But I am going to look at this child, and I'm not going to always be trying to put this child into being this top, you know, and have these dreams about the person that I heard that had such learning difficulties and they became, you know, the Rav, the Rosh Hashiva, but I don't know what. I don't want to have that in my child, that pressure, that I have to change you, that I have to fix you. I have to channel, I have to give you tools. I can't have a handicap. You have to know how to read by 12 years old, right? But I don't have to change you. I have to see that you've got so much essence and so much beauty, and your chelek in Torah is going to be beautiful, whatever that chelek is. The tree is the Torah because there's so many branches to it. It's not one in a box that was the stagnant thing that stays. It's constantly growing and reaching new heights and going and doing beautiful things. And the other thing is sometimes we say, but you know what? It's so hard for me in the role that you gave me, Hashem. Like, I don't want this life that you gave me, or I don't want this challenge. And there I heard another beautiful Michelle from Rav Schaefer, and he said, imagine that you have a person that wants to be an actor. They go and they're offered a role of being like a really, like the fool of the, you know, like the class clown in this movie. So the guy says, you know what? I don't want this part. I don't want, everyone's going to look, well, they're going to watch the movie, they're going to think I'm a class clown. I don't want this part. So he goes back to his agent, says, I don't want to do this. And the agent says, you idiot. This is your role in this movie, to be a class clown. Do it and do it great. You win an Oscar. You win, or the Emmy, or whatever. You win it. We came into this world. Hashem says you do have a certain role here. Don't think that role. Oh, it's so different. It's, you can play. The question is not if I can. Like, it's how you're gonna play your part. I don't have to be anybody else's part. But did I come into this world to play my own part? And can I play that with full capacity, using all my kochot and channeling the right direction? Yes. Can I look at a child and say, play your part, but to the best that you can? This kid I'm talking about, he knows how to make an electrical scooter and bicycle with his hands, finding pieces in the garbage dumps. That's pretty impressive. Okay, so he's still learning how to read at 12, 11. But we're like getting there. Do you understand? It's just about, how can I channel my kochot to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's what we're putting this world for. So with that, I'm going to do something a little bit not characteristic maybe of the OU, but it's very characteristic of me and my kochot and my channeling. And actually what we're going to do is we're going to do a little meditation. We're going to close our eyes. I want you to get comfortable in your seats. Where am I from? I grew up in Piedmont, which is like a little tiny city. Ah, okay. And then I went to, yeah, and I went to Stanford. So, and then, but I haven't been in America in like a long time.